I'll just go ahead and get out of the way. Super Bowl Sunday. But yet you're here and not cooking at home for the thousands of people that are coming to your house. I'm just talking. Lenny always goes to a friend's house, and sometimes they come to our house, but this year he's going to a friend's house. And I said, well, what are you taking? He said his friend said to bring nothing, because that's how they do it. Because, you know, when Lenny does it, I'm like, he's like, can you make? I'm like, let's be like those people who say, but let's tell them to bring something. But he's going away. And whoever your team is for, I mean, whichever team that you're for, okay, that's fine. Because when you wake up in the morning, we'll still have to go to work. But it's kind of fun to have bragging rights. So you know that hometown boy Travis Kelce is the one for me. This is killing Terry McDonald, who lives in Kansas City. He's going to try to get on the bandwagon, but he was upset that the Bills didn't get in. So write him a note. Tell him it's okay to go with Kansas City since they live there now. It's fine. So we're going to have a blessed time. But, you know, Jesus is always pertinent. No matter what goes on in this life, no matter what goes on later today, you have chosen to be here. So we are blessed to have this today. Today is Transfiguration Sunday, which concludes the Sunday of Epiphany. Okay. The season of Epiphany. And it pivots us into the season of what? Anybody know? Lent. We call it Easter preparation, where we're getting ready leading up to Easter. So probably Wednesday, it's Wednesday, starts Ash Wednesday. And when is Valentine's Day? Ash Wednesday. So I heard that the bishop of Cleveland, or some bishop, sometimes gives a dispensation. Is that what you give? To say that you can eat chocolate because it's Valentine's Day. So they have to, if you're not going to give it up, if that's what you give up, you have to have permission to whatever. So it goes like that. So I found that really interesting, because he did it before, is what someone told me. And they were like really grateful. Isn't that funny? But we're going into Lent. And the season of Epiphany is all about, and has been about, seeing God's glory. It's been about a season of seeing the mystery of God revealed. The wedding at Cana, all those things that happen. What was once hidden is now visible. And this unveiling, this revealing, this Epiphany leads us into the next season, where we prepare for Easter. But we do it by repentance, repentance, changing how we think to align and to fit with what has been revealed to us by Jesus. So when you think about repentance, changing how we think by what has been revealed, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you. We just give you glory and praise, and we ask God that you reveal your glory to us. Not just today, but in these up and coming weeks, that we can see you even more clearly as we repent and draw closer to you. We thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today, we visit the story of the transfiguration. Notice it's not transformation. It's the transfiguration. As Mark tells it, you also find this in Matthew and in Luke. You'll find it. But Mark is very much to the point, because he doesn't want us to miss the significance of what is taking place. Also, we can't miss that Mark places it right in the middle of his gospel. It's right in the middle, purposefully. Like Jesus, Mark knows that we need to see behind the veil to see who Jesus really is. And that he really is the Son of God. So let's read Mark 9, verses 2 through 9 in the NIV. I think I said. Good, thank you. After 6 days, Jesus took Peter and James and John with him and led them up to a high mountain where they were alone. There he was transfigured before them. We're just going to read the whole thing through. His clothes became dazzling white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before them Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. "This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him." Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus gave them orders not to tell anyone what they had seen until the Son of Man had risen from the dead. Amen. Mark chooses to place this story in this intersection between in Mark 8, where there's a healing of a blind man, and then later there's another healing of a blind man. Because quite frankly, right now, those who need to be healed of their blindness are the disciples. So he's healing blindness all the way around, physical and now spiritual blindness, because three times he predicts his death, but the disciples are never able to accept the concept of a Messiah associated with suffering and death. They can't accept it. No, that can't be true. That's not going to happen. And I believe that there are people right now who can't accept that there was a suffering and a price to pay for our sins. They are completely blind to seeing how the cross fits into it. How the cross fits into it. A revelation is needed to heal their own blindness. And it's only Christ who can do it. When we are blind to the identity of Jesus, guess what? We remain in the dark about our own identities as well. If we don't know who Jesus is, we don't know ourselves in him. And that's what he's trying to get us to get. First, the men who got to be there, Peter, James, John. They were in the in crowd. How did they get to go up there? And how do you think they felt? We're leaving nine others behind. We get to go. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes when you're on the in crowd and you got a special in with the top person, you can get a little prideful. Like, he's taken Taylor Swift. He's taken us. He's taken us to the mountaintop. The rest of you have to stay behind. I don't think, of course, they didn't know why they were going. They just know he asked them, "Come with me. Come with me." We all may have certain circles that we'd love to be included in. Maybe you don't. And if we find ourselves in that special circle, sometimes we can become fearful of like losing our status in that circle. Because I've been important. I've been part of that forever. Why now is someone else being part of it? Why can't I still be part of that group, that special group? We do not want to lose the glory we think we have attained to ourselves. For ourselves, we seem to always be looking for ways to elevate ourselves over others for our own sense of significance and security. And I know I'm not talking to people who do that here. Am I? No, nobody wants to elevate themselves for their own sense of security. We're all secure in ourselves. We don't need help doing that. I'm thinking of our teenagers sitting here. I'm thinking of the in crowds that she looked up. I'm thinking of the in crowds at school, where there are certain people that, you're in with, and when you're out with them, they let you know it. And you have to be pretty strong not to care, not to care. In contrast to thinking of self, we are given a witness to Jesus's transfiguration. Notice how Mark describes Jesus's radiant clothes. So it's not about us trying to elevate ourselves or those guys walking up the hill trying to elevate themselves. It's about Jesus's transfiguration. And notice how Mark describes it as no one on earth could bleach them. So it's not like they could have done it. It's not like they had anything to do with it. It's not like your best washing materials, Pat, could take it out. Nothing about that could make it as white as it was, his clothing. as white as it was, except the glory. It's not a man-made glory. It does not come by ways of seeking and maintaining glory for ourselves. As we see Jesus transfigured, we see God's glory, a revelation of who he is. The God revealed to us by and in Jesus is a self-sufficient, self-sustaining, like the Son. He's God. He's God. His life is a life of giving, going out, that sun shining out, and of bringing warmth and of bringing life. The God we revealed, the God we see revealed, is a transfigured person of Jesus, is not a God who is turned inward, not one who needs to have praise from humans. He doesn't need our praise. He doesn't need our praise. You think because you take it away, you've done something? Not at all. He's God, but rather a God of love who radiates life outward to his creation. That's what he gives us, nothing but love. We turn our backs. We have cursed him. Love. God shows his glory with us, freeing us of striving to gain our own glory. Now notice the response of the disciples. And there appeared Elijah and Moses. And they were talking to him. So here goes Peter, not knowing what to say. He starts whatever comes to his mind. Have you ever done that? Hey, why don't we, because it's good for us to be here, why don't we make three tents to remember that we were here. See, all that us, all that inclusion of itself in it, tells you what he was thinking. He was thinking self. He didn't say you. He didn't say you, Lord, because he still didn't see him. He still didn't see him for who he is. It's good that we are here. He also makes a suggestion of building the three tents, as I said, and he's treating Moses, Elijah, and Jesus as three equal people. Hello, you still don't see me. Who was the one that represented the law? Moses, who represented the prophets? Elijah, and Jesus came and took away all that. He represents all that. He stands alone. He stands alone. He fulfills both the law and the prophets. And do you know what they were talking about? And they tell us what they were talking about. That I don't know that they could hear what they were talking about. But they were talking about Jesus's departure. So that's another clue in for Peter. To let him know, you're going to go. Somebody says that proves that there is a heaven. Because those two came down to be with Jesus and to talk. It wasn't like AI. They were there. They were there. How God did it is how God did it. Peter's still blind to who Jesus is because Jesus has no equal. No equal. But Peter's senseless talk is interrupted and overshadowed because here comes the Father. And the Father says, "This is my beloved Son. Listen to him. Listen to him." Jesus didn't bring them up into the mountain to exclude them. He brought them up for them to make sure that they know and they listen. Listen to him. They needed a deeper relationship, a deeper revelation of who God is. And I think sometimes, no, all the time, we need that too. A deeper revelation of who Jesus is. Because you know what we do? Sorry to say, but it's true. We get caught up in our programs. We get caught up in our do's. We get caught up in our don'ts. And we forget about who he is. And just imagine if we went up on that mountain ourselves. How would we come back? We're allowed to go up on that mountain, as a matter of fact. The more time we spend with Jesus, the more on the mountain we are. The more time that we take to spend with Jesus, the more we radiate who he is. It's important to clarify that Jesus did not undergo some change on the mountain. He didn't undergo a change. The radiant Jesus on top of the mountain is the same Jesus who came down to the foot of the mountain. Show me your glory. He showed them his glory. The only thing that changed were the disciples got to glimpse who Jesus really is. I'm desperate to see. Jesus' transfiguration is not a change in Jesus. It is a change in our seeing and knowing who he is. Knowing who he is. The cross was all part of it. He is the other disciple. He and the other disciples are being prepared. He, Peter, and the other disciples are being prepared to understand that this Messiah's glory does not exclude the cross. That's why the conversation was taking place. It does not exclude the cross. The cross was the most brutal act of exclusion that brought all the shame that we so desperately try to avoid. But Jesus will not avoid the cross. He walked to the cross for us. Good news. But he goes there to include us in a life with the Father, not to exclude us, to include us. In Jesus, our identity is forever significant and it's forever secure. That's a hallelujah. That's an amen. How often do we seek our identity in positions that we hold? Gotta get past that. In the status that we have in life. Gotta get past that. And there are people who say, if I become this, then I will be top dog. Gotta get past that. Can we? Our true identity is found only in Jesus, Jesus Christ. He's already included us in the life with the Father and the Spirit. That's good news. No matter what seems to go wrong in our lives, we're already included with him. We got the best of the best. I just said to Bob, I am not going to apologize for having favor with God because I'm included. I'm not going to apologize. When Bob was telling the story of how he got a nail stuck in his car, but how the car was turned just right. They traveled 500 miles, but how the wheel was turned just right, that he was able to see it. See, I say that's favor. That's not accident. And he was able to take care of it without missing a beat. That's the life I live. And if I miss a beat or it takes a detour, that's because God has something else for me to see. Everything is centered around what God is doing. So the worry, the concern is turned into, what is it I need to see? Who is it I need to talk to? Or who needs to talk to me? That's why you're delaying. There's something for me to see. Your glory, Lord. Your glory, to know who you are. And when they were coming down the mountain, he charged them to tell no one. Jesus is not seeking political power and he is not seeking popularity. I just went politics to popularity. Popular people are really powerful, but they are really temporary. But God, he is eternal. He says, that's not my mission right now. They don't even need to know I'm here. I'm trying to get you straight. I'm trying to get you to understand. And then we're going to go on from there. We're going to go on from there. And the fact that Jesus didn't stay on the mountaintop, what did he do? He came down with them. That's what he does with us. You cannot stay on the mountaintop and serve God. You have to come down from the mountaintop to get amongst the people, to start doing the work. So I know that we want to stay in the presence of God, and I know that we want to read the Bible, and we want to have so much knowledge, but we never use it, if we never use it, you're not putting it into practice what he's asked us to do. We have to put it into practice. I know people who do that. Some of them are my relatives. My brother who's gone on, I can't wait to see him. You know, he's gone on to be with the Lord. I can't wait to see him when we return. I mean, when it's all together, of course, we're not going to have that conversation, but he's going to see the life of restriction he put on himself was not necessary. Was not necessary. There's a freedom in Christ. There's a freedom in knowing him. There's a freedom in to be able to walk among people and to say, hey, I still love you. We're not going to agree on this, but that's okay. God's going to open your eyes. It's okay. As he walks with us in all the aspects of life, he's working to help us see who he is and who we are in him, no matter what circle we find ourselves in. The Spirit continues to make us children of the Father. And this comes by way, again, of repentance. And these 40 days leading up to Easter, starting on Wednesday. These 40 days, folks, it's a great reminder. I don't do it then, I do it at another time, earlier. But it's a great reminder time to say, God, I'm putting you first. God, I repent of my way of thinking and I'm looking to you. I'm looking to you. And it's not always about what you eat. It's about the things you're putting before him. The people you're putting before him. The stuff you're putting before him. But at this point, he's on his way. He's going to be walking toward the cross for our sins. Every step that he takes, everything that he does, will be for us. Just as he had to go to the cross before the disciples could fully understand God's glory revealed on the mountain, we too must die to all that we cling to for our own glory. Tamar, talking to myself, right? You've got to say it for yourself. God, glory is not what we make for ourselves. It is what we receive from the one who died for us. And the glory awaits us in Jesus, who is risen from the dead. Amen. Today can be our day to transition from darkness to light. Right now. From blindness to sight. Right now. The Lord is glorious, and he invites us up to the mountain with him. We won't be the same on the way down. Does anybody want to go to the mountaintop? I know I do. And I want to be changed when I come down. Amen.